Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Tired of your old kitchen backsplash? Is your bathroom feeling dated? Are you wishing you had a little more open floor plan? Or now that you're working from home and your kids are at school at home, do you yearn for walls? Well, you're not alone. With so many people spending so much time at home because of the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of folks have embarked on home improvement and renovation projects. It's the opposite of what many predicted would happen in the ensuing economic downturn. But depending upon how much you're investing in your project, we thought it would be helpful if you understood what kinds of renovations bring the greatest return on that investment. What projects will help you most at resale? What current trends will be the most long-lasting? And if you're not doing the work yourself, how do you make sure the workers you hire are doing the work in a safe and healthy way? We're going to get some answers to those questions and more this hour, and you can certainly send any questions you may have to us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or get to us through Facebook or Twitter at Charlotte Talks. Melissa Lee is principal designer at New South Home. She has extensive experience on projects large and small, from kitchen and bath remodels to whole house renovations, and she joins us right now. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Chris Duncan is partner in and co-owner of Four Oaks Builders. They are general contractors who build homes and also do house remodels and more. Thank you, Chris, for being here.
Good morning, Mike.
And Kim Troughton is a broker with Allen Tate Realtors in their South Park office and is in the top 1% of all agents in the nation. She understands what buyers are looking for in our tight real estate market and what projects attract their attention. Thank you for joining us too. Morning.
Hey.
So let me start with Melissa and Chris, the two renovators here, experts, including the big box stores like the Home Depot and Lowe's, really thought they were going to go into a tailspin as the economy cratered with this COVID-19 situation. On the contrary, they're doing pretty well. People are going to those stores and buying paint and all kinds of things to fix their house up. House, the online remodeling platform, reports a 58% increase in project leads for home professionals just in the month of June. So what is it that you have experienced? Melissa, I'll start with you.
We're definitely getting more inquiries. You know, our business projection is up so far for the year. And I think we're getting a lot of questions about, like you said, kitchen remodels, bath remodels, as well as people just wanting to furnish their homes and updating spaces where they don't need anything remodeled, but they just want to refresh and help with furnishing. So we've actually been getting a lot more master bedroom requests than normal. I think that's one of those rooms that everybody kind of leaves until the last, you know, that's the last thing they want to do. And now that they're spending all this time at home and this is their only retreat because everybody's at the house all the time, I think there's a new focus on that room as well.
I want to come back to that a little bit later on too. Chris, go ahead. What have you experienced?
Yeah, I totally agree with Melissa. We've when this COVID situation started to brew, we saw it coming. Our team met and we're talking about how to prepare for a slowdown, but we have experienced no slowdown. In fact, we have just taken off. And so we've been wide open busy, and which was a surprise at first. But now to think about it, everyone's at home and they're staring at their homes. They're looking at these projects that they've probably been wanting to do for a long time. And they're just getting to it. So we've had more calls, more contacts. We're wide open right now.
Kim, you've been nodding as Melissa and Chris have been talking here. So obviously you know what's going on because you see a ton of houses every week as a realtor. What's driving this? Everybody thought, you know, no jobs, no money, stay at home, be careful. And even if you have a job, be careful. And yet people are saying, let's do it. Why? What's happening here? What's driving this?
I think that real estate is actually leading us out of a recession. We're the one industry that's really still really moving forward. And I think it goes back to what Melissa and Chris said. People are in their homes. They're looking at their homes every day. And they're realizing, what if real life means more time here all the time going forward? So if that's the case, we better make some changes.
Hmm. And Chris, as you said, you were anticipating a downturn and that did not materialize. In fact, you've gotten busier. And you say that one reason is that people believe in the economy, so they are moving forward with confidence. Is that confidence justified?
Well, the people we're dealing with are fairly confident about the economy. I mean, their jobs have remained stable. And we're also in an amazing town. Charlotte is a growing city. And so you have just low supply of inventory. If people wanted to change homes, they're leery about doing it because you can get out of the market. It's hard to get back in. And so people are looking at their homes. They're saying, okay, if my new reality is to, I'm going to have to work from my house. I have to make some improvements to live and be here. I want to be here. So there's a lot of improvements going on in that regard. And Charlotte's just an economically strong town. So there's a lot of insulation in that regard, we feel like.
And people used to move to the way far out suburbs. They still do. But it's not like it was in the 90s when home builders were building on every vacant piece of land they could find outside of the immediate downtown area. But now it's happening in town. All these infill projects are going on because a lot of people are just choosing to stay put. They like where they live. They just want more space or different space. Would we be seeing this, Chris, in the absence of this pandemic? Would people be doing some of these same things or more of these same things? Do you think that perhaps you've actually experienced the downturn, but you don't know it?
Well, the trend was already there. Infill and densification of the city was already going on. And we do a lot of those infill projects. I mean, we try to remodel a home when we can, but occasionally you have one that just its useful life is over. It's 80 years old. It just cannot really be rebuilt. And so we'll remove that home and put a new one there. And it depends on, obviously, the neighborhood and what's going on in that area and what makes most sense economically. Mm-hmm. And but that trend was already going, and I don't think that's skipped a beat in that regard. But the idea of remodeling from home or improving your home, I think, has increased just because of some of the factors we've been discussing.
I mean, do you think, Melissa, would you be on the same page with Chris there that obviously your business is up, but could it be down because maybe you would have gotten even more work had there been less of an impact on income?
Well, I would say we can't even keep up with the demand at this point. You know, we're getting project inquiries that we can't do fast enough. And so I would say that we probably would have a potential for more if we could just keep up with it. So I would agree with you on that. Yes, for sure.
I'm still seeing, as I drive around, an explosion of infill houses in established neighborhoods in and around Dilworth and Elizabeth and places like that. Kim, you're a realtor. Some people choose to stay put in the house that they have and maybe add a room onto it or do something that changes the way they live inside that house. And I guess you should always be thinking about resale. And I'm noticing that most of the older homes in these neighborhoods, when they are sold, are removed and replaced with bigger, newer. So is it worth the investment? Should you be doing a sunroom or adding something to the backyard or to the house when you know that when you go to resell it, it's going to be a teardown?
Well, it all depends on the community. So I live in Dilworth in a 94-year-old house that still has a lot of life in it. we got it and remodeled it in 2014. And so we're in the historic district. So you can't tear down. You can't do those sorts of things. And we're also limited by the Historic Commission as to what we can do. And the Historic Commission wants in my neighborhood for us to keep the houses looking the same from the street. So we can sometimes put an addition on the back. And I've had buyers say it's really deceiving when you go into some of these homes. They look small from the front and then they just go on forever at the back because you can do some more extreme changes or put an addition at the back. I think what it comes down to is the value of the community. Are you seeing gentrification where the community is starting to turn over? Some of our neighborhoods like Plaza Midwood and NoDa, there's an area between that That is Country Club Heights and Plaza Hills. And that used to be like a gray area. It wasn't as trendy as NoDa. It wasn't as close in as Plaza Midwood. And nobody really wanted to live there. Well, as, and you know, we're talking about a growth over 7 to 10 years. We've had it. I'm sure that Melissa and Chris would agree that this has been an accelerated every year. Our demand is going up. So now that specific area used to be, you know, where you would go if you couldn't afford NoDa. Well, now we're seeing million-dollar houses in there. I know that Chris has been building in there, and I know that New South also has been building in some of these communities. So if you're in a neighborhood that is the tiniest, oldest house, and every other home has been updated, remodeled, torn down, when I'm showing houses in neighborhoods, I always say if there's a dumpster on the street, you're in good company.
Wow.
or porta potty or a dumpster.
Okay, a dumpster. So a lot of people are probably not listening to us because they're not in a position to do any of this. So many people have lost jobs and are unemployed and are trying to figure out where their next meal is coming from. And I hate to rub salt in the wound for those folks, but then there are those who are still working. And are spending more time at home because they're working from home. So in those situations, what is the most common thing people are wanting to do? And I'll begin with the interior decorator remodeler, and then we'll move on to the builder. So Melissa, what's the most, of all the projects that you're doing, what's the most often requested project?
Honestly, it's all over the board. We have been getting a lot of requests for kitchens, just because I think everybody's cooking more from home, spending more time eating at home. Even if they're doing takeout, they're still sitting in their home, eating more meals at home. But again, like I said earlier, the other one that we've seen kind of an uptick is the master bedroom. It's always seems to be the last room of the house that people focus on. And now that they're spending more time at home and really looking for like that retreat at the end of the day, because they've all been in their houses with everybody together, we have seen an increase. I think we're working on 4 master bedroom projects right now, where it's either a bath remodel or just furnishing the room, because they're still sitting with their college furniture because they've been investing all the money in the rooms that everybody, they entertain in.
Right. Chris, I know you build houses, but you also do improvement projects. So in an improvement project situation, what are you being asked to do most often?
Well, many times it's obviously to update spaces. We're in the middle of a big whole house South Park remodel right now, and they're adding, we're basically adding a third floor to it. There's a huge open attic system, and we're adding all that, finishing out all that space, but then we're updating the kitchen, and the bathrooms, and master bathroom, number of places. And one of the owners of the home is in the middle of this big project, has set up his makeshift office in his master bedroom. So he is eager for us to get finished just so he can have his office space. So it's a perfect example of where people are making a pretty significant shift to work from home. We think that trend is going to continue, and people are wanting those spaces to be able to set up and have some normalcy. They want to, if they're going to spend a lot more time in their home, they need to be able to breathe. They need to be able to, it needs to be an inviting place that they want to be at. And so that's a live example we're working on right now for someone.
And we're going to talk about that too, as we go through the program, because this may last a while. Even when COVID is gone, people may say, I don't need to go to the office. And the companies are saying, you don't need to come back, because they're discovering, what do you know? It works this way. When we come back, I want to talk about indoor versus outdoor fix up and what that does, not only for you and your life, but also for the value of your house when it comes time to move on. That and many other topics that we'll be talking about remodeling and renovating with Melissa Lee with New South Home, Chris Duncan from Four Oaks Builders, and Kim Troughton with Allen Tate Realtors. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Fifth Third Bank, dedicated to the financial empowerment of the community by investing time, resources, and people in the Charlotte area and throughout the state. More at 53.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about remodeling and renovation in the time of COVID, and the fact that it seems like everybody is doing it because the demand is way, way up. Melissa Lee is principal designer with New South Home. Chris Duncan, co-owner of Four Oaks Builders, and Kim Troughton is a broker with Allen Tate Realtors in their South Park office. Kim, we've been talking mostly about indoor renovations, but people in the Carolinas, at least because of the weather, like to be outdoors too. Are you finding that outdoor space is as important to buyers as the indoor space?
Yes. Yes. And I think just going back to what you said about why are people remodeling? We have no houses to sell. So I think people are antsy in their homes. They can't control their environment. So they're looking for something to control. They can't buy a house. They can't move because we have nothing. So they're turning to what they have. So when I sell homes, I'm always telling people, especially people who are relocating from up north, I do about 30% of my business is relocation. I'm always saying when I walk outside, this is an extension of your house. So if you're going to spend money, especially landscaping, and I can see your neighbors, put in the landscaping this year. So then in 3 to 5 years, when you call me to sell your house, and I know you're never moving, I know this is your forever home, but statistics show everyone moves every 3 to 5 years. So when I come back here in 5 years and I can still see that house and I suggest it really, you know, doing some landscaping in the first year, there's a reason for that. The second reason is because you are going to live out here. And especially people coming from up north, if there's screen porch, cover deck, pool is our number one ask right now. You are going to get as much use out of that in February with a propane heater when it's 70 degrees, when we have, you know, our nice couple of days, and in the fall as you will with your children on the playset in the summertime.
Well, are homeowners who are engaging in these renovations, and some of them are pretty pricey renovations. You're talking about putting a pool in. That's a heck of a lot of money. Are they financing these out of unspent vacation money because they can't go anywhere, they can't take that cruise, they can't go to Europe this summer, they can't do this, they can't do that? Are they taking out home equity loans? Because a lot of people have, because of the appreciation of homes in this area, have a lot of stored up value, and it's a piggy bank. We went through that before. Are they refinancing their homes and adding some money on top on the principal so that they can have some money? Is that what's going on here? How are they doing it, Kim?
I would say that with interest rates at about 2.8% yesterday, and for this month and for the foreseeable next few months, a lot of people are refinancing. And if they haven't refinanced in the last 2 to 3 years or longer, they definitely should be. And in that case, sometimes the equity has gone up. They can cash out some. I think at that same time, they can do a line of credit, a home equity loan. I'm not sure people are pigeonholing money from a vacation as much as they're just saying, I really want to do this, and we will find the funds.
Wow. In spite of the vagaries of the virus, is it smart? Is this a smart thing to do? I mean, is it smart?
I think for resale purposes, any improvement that you make that benefits your family and your home and you, that will recoup some value. You just have to decide how much is just for you and how much is for resale.
So, Melissa, when it comes to outdoor versus indoor projects, when you're doing something outdoors, are people looking to build or improve a deck, a wooden deck? They were all the rage for the longest time. Or are they more along the lines of looking to put down stone pavers and fire pits and built-in grills, maybe even an outdoor kitchen? What are they looking to do, most of people?
We're definitely seeing more like screened porches, covered porches with a patio is what we're seeing from our end. And I don't know if Chris would agree with that. I think the one thing we're finding from a design standpoint too is that outdoor furniture in the past 2 to 3 years, 2 to 5 years really, has really come a long way, where the furniture that we're able to select for our clients and source for those projects is more like interior furniture, fully upholstered sofas that are safe to be outside, you know, putting TVs, and these days TVs are so inexpensive. You can put a normal TV out in your porch, cover it up, and it'll be fine in a covered porch, and really creating an extension of your indoors outside because of all the trends that we're seeing in the essentially the technology and furniture manufacturing, that they've become better with the exterior furniture, that it's more like an extension of your indoor space.
Chris, what about you? Because I'm sure you do some of these projects.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree with what they both said, that there is and the trend has been going on for a number of years where you're creating designs that are pulling the occupants of the home kind of out into outdoor spaces. And people love the outdoors because Charlotte's weather is, for the most part, nice. I mean, the humidity can be tough sometimes, but people want to be outside. And so, I mean, we install sometimes these panoramic doors, which are super cool. They kind of open up, either accordion, they collapse, or they slide into a wall. But all of a sudden, it takes this the back of the house, and it'll open it up and invite you out onto this large deck on the outside. So there's really this continuation of that inside room coming outside. And so porches and outdoor living area is very popular, and we do a lot of those.
I have one word for those walls of windows that collapse into the wall. Bugs.
Yeah.
Not with a screen porch on the other side, though.
That's true.
That's true.
A lot of people choose to even to not do a screen. They'll just go ahead and commit to spraying, because sometimes screens they'll get damaged. You have to repair them, and so they'll end up just spraying every year to manage some of that bug stuff. But yeah, you're right.
When you do projects like these, should you always, Kim, be thinking of resale value, or is it something that you just want to do because it's for you? I was joking before the show started about if your taste tells you that you want a chartreuse wall in the living room and you want, I don't know, green tile in the bathroom, that's your taste, that makes you happy, but you as a realtor know that's going to be, I can't sell that. Should that be a consideration?
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's room to do some of those things that you want to do, but maybe talking to a good broker can give you advice as far as when you do those things, here's A, what you can get as a return, and B, here's how it's going to affect your resale. And maybe if you want to use that chartreuse, you use it as paint in a powder room or in a smaller room. But as soon as you commit to something expensive, you're committed. And so when I work with my clients, especially if we're buying a home that needs any kind of updating, or even new construction always is going to need some kind of changes down the road, I tell them that forever and ever, they need to call me. And I've got contractors, I've got resources, I've got a design background, I can give you colors and materials, and I stay on top of trends on my Instagram page. So people can kind of check in and see what's going on. You also want to avoid some of the really trendy things because they come and go. And I used to always say with HGTV and House and Pinterest, our trends were changing about every 5 years or so. I would say since COVID, if you look at the consumption of social media, and we're all binge watching, you know, all the shows, I think the trends are moving even faster.
Wow. I want to talk about trends because, and particularly when it comes to kitchens, because, you know, I grew up in the same house for 20 years and all we did was replace the stove and the refrigerator, I think. Now people are doing a complete upfit every 5 years, which is incredibly expensive. And there's a demand for that. And I'm wondering if it's really sustainable. But before we talk about that, when you take buyers into homes, whether they've been recently renovated or whether they've been sitting there and need some renovation, what are the positives and what are the negatives that jump out almost immediately when you're showing a house?
Well, obviously, our buyers want move-in condition. And I think sellers have got a little cocky thinking that they can put whatever price tag and present it however they want to. I would say in the Charlotte region, our houses are presented pretty well on point. People understand in this market, you need to stage the home. You need to neutralize. We are not using the gray paints anymore. We've moved to whites, which is a really big adjustment for my baby boomers. They're like, builder white. We're on builder beige. We're not doing that. But it's true. I mean, gray has had its day and we're no longer doing it. So a neutral decor. I tell my sellers, don't rush to replace flooring because we have a new product called Luxury Vinyl Plank that now comes in all kinds of different levels. And a lot of people will choose to put that in after they've bought. And so don't replace carpet. But kitchens in the South, we want our bright white kitchens. If you've got oak cabinets or maple cabinets, having them painted professionally. And when I say professionally, I mean the quality is outstanding. It's like a factory finish. Mm-hmm. That can tremendously add value to your home.
I'm in such trouble Just in that last answer, I'm in such trouble. I'm sitting in a gray house with cherry cabinets in the.
Okay. You know what? About. I'll come over and give you a hand with that.
So that leads me to my next question. We have a lot of remodeling questions, but that leads me to my next question about, you say that the people want move-in ready houses. So if I make my house move-in ready by repainting and carpeting, you say don't do that, but or fixing up the kitchen, fixing up the bathrooms, etc. But it's my taste. Am I better off just lowering my price so that you can come in and do your take on this house? Or am I better off fixing it up to my taste and hoping that you like it?
Neither. You should talk to a professional who's going to tell you, here's the things you need to do. Here's a good example. The brass hardware on all the doors of any home built before 2005 needs to be changed out. It's not an expensive remodel. You can do it on a weekend. Go get the brushed nickel hardware for your doors, cabinet hardware on kitchens, those kinds of things. But you need advice. And I do tell my sellers, please, please, please don't make any decisions without talking to me first. I will give you the input. Even if you're not selling today, I'll give you the input so that when you do sell in 2 years or a year, you won't have made some mistakes. And here's an example. So at Home Depot, you can buy 12 by 12 end aisle tile. We aren't using 12 by 12 tile. Even in our lower end houses, we're not using it. It's considered a builder grade 1990s product. Now for a dollar more tile, you can move to 12 by 24 inch tile. And all of a sudden your bathroom that you spent $100 more on is totally on point for trends. Am I really killing you now?
Yeah. Yes, you are. So I'm moving on because I have a sharp object near me and I may have to use it. Take us through the renovation process, Chris, because where do you start? Do you think as a homeowner wanting to do a project, well, here's what I'd like. I'm going to tear that wall out. I'm going to put a kitchen island in. I'm going to use quartzite instead of granite. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then go to you and say, okay, what's it going to cost? Or should I come to you and say, okay, I got $30,000. What can I do with that money in the kitchen? How should we approach it?
Well, there's some of both of that. So obviously budget matters in most of our lives. And so to the degree someone understands their budget on the front end, that does help us to be able to provide guidance to them, whether, you know, Kim or Melissa are at the table, they would agree that they'd love to know what they have to work with. A lot of times people don't know what that is, and they're trying to understand what is the cost to do this work. And so we're going to come in and advise them. We'll try to give them guidance on the kind of stuff. Sometimes people don't even know what, like you say, where to start or what the vision is. So the first step is to get a vision. We're going to bring, we're going to bring some design to the table, or a lot of times it may require some drawings that need to be done, especially if it involves structural changes to the home. And a lot of people don't know if you open that wall up, well, that wall is holding your second floor up. So we got to get a plan for that. So we kind of lay out a process for them. And then in hiring a contract, you're really hiring like a captain of a ship. We're here to steer you through a process that stays on budget, that accomplishes your vision, and is on a time frame that works. And so we walk them through that whole process.
I want to hear from both you, Chris, and Melissa about this, because I think a lot of people watch these cable shows, these home improvement shows, where people come in and fix them up, and sometimes they don't want to leave because they look better than anything new would be done. But they come in and they throw in all these freebies. They call in favors from their design partners when it's just really in exchange for getting on television. It's not really a favor at all. But nonetheless, it gives people watching these shows a false sense, I think, of what things actually cost, because you have a budget of $50,000 and suddenly you're getting a $150,000 remodeling job that you as a person could never afford. So has that changed expectations when people come to you, Melissa, to do things?
I think a little bit, but I think kind of what Chris was saying is just setting expectations up front and talking to somebody before you get too far down the road of, from our standpoint, coming up with a design plan before we even talk about budget or what is realistic that they can expect to spend. You know, that's a conversation that we're having. If it's not on the phone and that first phone call before we even come to their house, it's definitely once we show up and really talk to them about, if you're looking to change your kitchen cabinets, you're going to spend this much more versus painting. So I think just what we've learned along the way is just being upfront with everybody about what the expected costs are of all of these things before getting too far down the road of just having done all this work. And then, you know, they think that the whole house remodel is going to be $20,000 and now nobody's happy, you know, right. So.
Are you experiencing anything like that? Are people coming to you with unrealistic expectations, Chris?
Often. I mean, it's not surprising. When someone comes and does construction work, most people don't really understand what's involved and what does it take to pull off this project. And a lot of times, if you're doing an addition, you're tying another structure onto a home, or you're tearing everything out and remodeling it, those are costly. Those can be costly. It just depends on what you want to do. But to Melissa's point and to Kim's point, sometimes simple changes can make a big difference that don't cost a lot of money. So in the same manner, we try to advise our clients on, you know, here's some things you don't have to do. You may have thought through your HGTV experience, you need to do this, but there's a simpler way to do that, lower budget, that will give you a great bang for your buck too. So we have a lot of conversations, but many, many customers are unaware of the costs that go into making that happen. That's part of our job, is to help inform them.
I want to talk about trends in the next segment, but before we get there, Chris and probably Melissa, because you both have to go into people's homes to do the work that you do, how are you keeping yourself safe, your workers safe? How are you keeping the homeowners safe in this coronavirus pandemic, Chris?
Well, depending on the project. So some projects are so extensive, the homeowners are moving out. They're going into temporary living situation while we do the work. And then we try to be, you know, maintain the CDC's recommendations. So a mask, we keep distance, we're standing off from people and that sort of thing. Obviously, we do need to go into the home. So we'll, every single time we'll interact with the customer to say, what are you comfortable with? What would you like? And some have very specific things they want us to do. And then others are like, we're comfortable, just come in, we'll keep our distance, that whole thing. So we're very mindful of it as we move in, and our subcontractors we work with, we instruct them to do the same. So,
Melissa, you are nodding in agreement there, and I'll get your take on this in a second, and we have to take a break. And we'll also come back and talk about trends, what's in, what's not, what should you be thinking about for longevity, because you want this thing to last for more than 9 months before it has to be ripped out and start over again. It's Charlotte Talks. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about remodeling and renovation, which is going gangbusters around Charlotte despite the COVID-19 and perhaps because of the COVID-19 outbreak, with Kim Troughton, who is a broker with Allen Tate Realtors in their South Park office, Chris Duncan, co-owner and co-founder of Four Oaks Builders, and Melissa Lee, principal designer for New South Home. You were nodding as Chris was talking, Melissa, about keeping his workers safe and keeping homeowners safe as you do the work in their home, something you also engage in. Katie on Twitter writes, we're doing a remodel. The key for us is temporarily moving out so that we don't not only don't have to live through the renovations, but also reduce our exposure to COVID. So what are you doing?
Well, I agree with Chris on following the CDC guidelines. And if it is extensive, regardless of COVID, we always recommend our clients move out, because it's more of a headache than you realize to live throughout a remodel process, regardless of the current situation. But we are definitely, every time we go into a client's home, we're wearing masks, asking all the subcontractors do that. And again, talking like what Chris said, asking our clients what they're comfortable with, and just following kind of the guidelines and, you know, the requests of our clients as well. So, but I think main thing is if we're going into anybody's houses, our entire team is wearing a mask and keeping our distance and following all the rules that they've kind of specified.
So when you embark on these projects, even if it's just putting new drapes in the living room, or you're going to take walls out and have an open floor concept, something as dramatic as that, you have to consider, you want it to be new and stylish and trendy. So what are the trends, And how carefully do you follow the trends if you don't want to have to repeat this process in 8 years or 10 years?
Right. Well, the first thing we do with our clients is kind of discuss with them, I think, kind of part of this conversation, how long are you planning on staying in this home? Is this a 5-year home or is this a 10 to 20 year home? Because a lot of the decisions that we're making really have to do with, you know, how long are you going to be here? 10 years, they're most likely going to have to remodel. 10 to 15 years, they're most likely going to have to remodel the bathroom anyway. So if you're going to be there for that long, why don't you do it the way you want to do it? But the other thing we ask too is our clients, all of our clients have different tastes. We like to hear from them kind of what their style is, whether they like the new black and white trend or the white walls that Kim was talking about, or are they somebody that likes darker tones? So our goal is always to try to start from more of a classic base, where we would call it transitional design, where you're really keeping clean lines, nothing too terribly trendy, bigger pieces of furniture. You know, investments like kitchen cabinets are classic and neutral, and then layering the trends in accessories with color like pillows, artwork, lamps, all those sorts of things that are easier to change in 5 years when you decide you don't like purple anymore.
Yeah, well, paint's one thing because paint's easy to do. And even though every wall in this house just about is gray, and I have a lot of work ahead of me. And I got to tell you, Kim, that irritates me because I grew up in white. Everything was white, and then it became beige and tan, and now it's become gray, and now we're back to white. I can't keep up.
Yeah, they always come back. Trends always come back.
Circle around.
But, you know, it paint's one thing, but you're talking about bathrooms and kitchens. That's another. And you said, Kim, in the material that you gave to one of our producers, that you walk into a house with Brazilian cherry cabinets in the kitchen, and you can't sell that house.
You have? I'm Do you doomed. Have that? Is that what you have?
Yes, I'm doomed.
So it's actually Brazilian cherry floors. So
okay.
2000.
Thank God.
2007, Brazilian cherry floors were the biggest trend. Fast forward to 2020, we can't stain those a different color. Brazilian cherry can only stain red or purple. Those are your two choices. So if you have Brazilian cherry floors, the goal would be to try to refinish them and make them as neutral as possible. Whereas oak floors, you can go dark or you can go light. So that would be an example of people jumping onto a very expensive trend, doing hardwood floors throughout their whole house, fast forward 10 to 15 years, and now people aren't wanting that.
Why not?
I can sell the house. We need to make some changes.
How difficult is it to paint cabinets? Because that you're right. There seems to be two trends that I'm noticing in kitchen cabinets: white, and then pop colors like really dark blues or even light blues are becoming. And I'm wondering if you're going to go to all that expense and effort, is that going to go out in 3 years and it's going to be red? I mean, what is the trend in kitchen cabinets right now? Melissa.
I mean, white, it's like what Kim was saying. We live in the South and white kitchens. You know, my clients always ask me, I really want to paint my kitchen cabinets white. Is this trendy? No, white cabinets are not trendy. White is classic. I always tell my clients, I'm like, Martha Stewart had a white kitchen with white Carrera marble countertops and white Subway tile 20 years ago, and it still looks good. So if we're going to do some sort of pop color or something, maybe we do the island. That's a smaller investment later on down the road. If you decide you don't like your navy blue island, you're only repainting that piece versus the entire perimeter cabinet. But I don't ever think you can go wrong with white. I personally am on my third white kitchen. So,
I mean, it's one thing to be trendy with the furniture in the house because that can be easily replaced, or even with the carpet or the paint. But when you're talking about bathrooms and kitchens, is it smart to be trendy? Should you be classic, period, end of sentence?
Yes. I think you should be classic. Classic is good.
So what is classic?
I think sticking with neutral tones, whites are good. You know, we've kind of been seeing this trend towards black a little bit. And again, I just think of black as a classic color. I'm a navy white person personally. So I always kind of ask my clients too, what is your own personal style? me personally have always loved navy and white. So I don't feel like painting my cabinets navy is something that I'm going to hate in 5 years. So I always kind of think about what are the trends, but what really is my client's personal style and something that they're probably going to like longer than maybe a trend, if that makes sense.
But one of you mentioned the 12 by 12 tiles are now 12 by 24, which means they're rectangular as opposed to square. They're the same material, in fact. You would think that 12 by 12 would be classic. Not so much anymore. So that's why I asked, what's classic? Because the definition seems to change. Let's talk for a second about master bedrooms, because you keep bringing this up, Melissa. Master bedrooms are becoming a refuge because everybody is home all the time. So what are people doing in their masters?
At this point, most of the time when we're starting a project, if it's a furniture project, we're redoing the whole room. You know, we're basically coming up with a furniture plan, a layout, selecting all the new furniture, new paint, new window treatments, everything. And so when we're doing a room like this, we're repainting, we're doing new furniture, new drapes, new window, you know, new privacy shades, whatever that may be, new bedding, new pillows, kind of the whole thing. And what we found is the majority of our clients that have called us, this is all furniture, whether it's been handed down from their parents and they're just using it, or they've had it since their first apartment and they've just, you know, invested the money in the rest of their house. And now they're ready to focus on that. And then some of our clients were beige, you know, was the classic 10, 20 years ago. Now we're going into like white marble and all of those things. So, you know, just some upfits on the master bathroom and changing out those beige tile that, again, was very classic 15 years ago, but now is not.
Okay. Let's talk about open floor concepts for a second, because everybody seems to want those. All the new homes being built are like that. The kitchen, the dining room, the living room, they're all one big room when you come right down to it. And it's for a reason. It's because when you have guests over and you're cooking food, they can all congregate and be part of the group. You don't have to be hidden away in the back. But now everybody's home. Dad is working at the kitchen countertop. The kids are studying at the kitchen island or at the eat-in area of the kitchen. Do people want walls all of a sudden? Kim, but when you're showing houses, what are people wanting?
They're not wanting walls yet, but what they are is coming though, right?
Yes, that's right.
What they are wanting is flex space. So I will have people say to me, I want a 5-bedroom home. They don't need 5 bedrooms, but they know that 5th bedroom will be a flex space with a door. So we're getting more requests for absolutely 1 study on the main level, and possibly 2, if you have 2 working parents from home or kids working from home and everyone's on a Zoom call, we're getting more requests for flex space. It used to be for exercise or for whatever, but now it's actually designated workspace. I hear what you're saying about the open floor plan. And I have said that actually a few times over the last few years, like, when are we going to get tired of all this open space? But I still think people, for the most part, really appreciate 1 large open space. As long as we have those extra flex rooms, we did see, we're seeing the dining room, formal dining room, is going away. People are converting it to an office or to a playroom, or even like a wine tasting room or a library, you know, again, so it can function as 1 or 2 spaces. And if your kitchen dining room is big enough to hold a decent sized table, it doesn't have to seat 12, it seats 8 comfortably, you may not need that dining room. And so we're grabbing it back. I tell everybody, you're paying the same mortgage payment on that square footage as you are on the family room that you're in every day. Why don't you make this more functional?
Are people asking you, Chris, to build flex spaces? Are they taking the room over the garage and doing something with it? Or what's happening in your universe?
Yeah, absolutely. If people can convert a garage over the garage space, they're doing it. People are still dropping walls in these old houses to open things up. So the open concept is still very attractive. I have had a few clients who have indicated their interest in, like you say, more closed spaces or an office. Usually not closed that they're looking for, but private places where they can work. So we've actually put some walls up to create those spaces too. But, you know, with kids doing homeschool, with parents working at home. There's a lot of people in the house needing to actually be functional and performing in some capacity. They need those spaces. So to Kim's point, we are adding those to our plans. For
sure. And you don't know how long this is going to last, so you don't want to overreact and redo your entire home only to find out that this all ends in December and we go back to normal. VA on, I guess it's VA, I don't know, VA on Facebook writes, I am so, so glad that no one remodeled our 1957 house.
Classic.
Okay, classic. Listener email. We live in the Madison Park area and have been looking to put an 1,100 square foot addition onto our house. We've been getting quotes of over $300,000 with the comment that we can turn around and sell it for a profit afterwards. But we are looking to live in it forever and not sell it because we love our neighborhood. Why can't we get more reasonable quotes? Chris.
Well, that's a great question. And so, and there's a lot of moving parts that go into that. And so it really depends on a number of things that customer wants. $300 a foot for a Madison Park addition is probably, you probably can get better than that and still have great quality. I don't know if Madison's going for 300 a foot right now, Kim. I wouldn't think so, right? But yeah, 300 seems a little high, but it really does depend. Devil's in the details in terms of that. What that project entails. You almost have to look at the topo. Some of those lots fall way off to a creek and they're the foundation. You can spend a lot of money in that. But in general, adding space to a home or addition in a Madison Park type area mm-hmm. is generally a good investment. When you're adding square footage or in Selwyn Park or any of those locations, it's usually a good investment. Finding the right contractor, getting the right plan.
Could sense. Part of the problem be that remodeling and renovation is gangbusters right now? The price of materials is going up. The demand is going up. You guys can't keep up with the demand, so that's going to cause the price to go up. Is that part of what's going on here?
A builder that I work with told me yesterday lumber prices have gone up 120% since April. And I think, I know, Chris, you're seeing the same
That's
thing,
true.
But just from the standpoint of subcontractors, our subcontractors are charging more because they can. So it's not mm-hmm. just materials, but it's labor costs as well. You know, supply and demand, there's a huge demand for it, and the supply is the same.
Yeah, Lynn in Cotswold right. writes, we have cherry cabinets too, not painting them, exclamation point. The demand for a pool construction seems to be growing around the country. It's certainly growing here. I always used to view pools as a negative, that people didn't want them. Now you're saying that they do want them. Is that something, if you're concerned about resale, that if you have the room, that's a good investment? Kim?
If your neighborhood is a neighborhood that others have pools, you don't want to be the only house in a neighborhood with pools, with a pool. If you've got a $350,000 house with a community pool, it's probably not a good investment. And if you really, really want to do it, then you probably want to consider a lower priced pool. But if you're in a neighborhood with a half acre lot or larger, absolutely. There's some houses I've shown where I've thought if this house had a pool, it would have sold by now. Mm.
The improvements that pay off. What are the improvements that pay off? The biggest bang for your buck, Melissa?
Kitchens and master bathrooms, for
Kim.
Sure.
Kim?
Painting cabinetry, if it's in your kitchen or your bathroom, and doing outdoor landscaping that creates privacy.
Wow. And you have some tips, Chris, for people when they're thinking about hiring a contractor. What should they be doing? What should they be asking?
Well, obviously, I think references are important. So if you're new to the area and a lot of people moving to this town, they don't know anybody. So there's usually somebody they're connected to, a real estate agent, a designer. Get some references and try to find somebody who knows, because contracting is, you know, can even have a reputation of some bad processes. So, but there's lots of good contractors out there. You just need to ask some really smart questions, talk to their previous customers, look at their work. I mean, there's obviously dealing with when you go into a contracting relationship, you're going to be with that person for a while. So it's worth meeting with, getting to know, and make sure you can work with them. So.
Chris Duncan is co-owner of Four Oaks Builders. Melissa Lee is the principal designer with New South Home. And Kim Troughton is a broker with Allen Tate Realtors in the South Park office. Thank you all for the hour. I don't see any cherry cabinets behind any of you, so I guess you're safe. I'm not. Thanks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.